Acts chapter 8. Thank you. Thank you very much, David. Bless you. How many is there? Acts chapter 8. If you're there, let me hear you say praise the Lord. All right. Verse 26 is where we are going to pick up on today. Last week, we talked about Simon the sorcerer and how he was one guy that was trying to buy the Lord. He was trying to buy the things of the Lord. He was trying to buy the Holy Spirit. He was trying to buy the power of the Holy Spirit for his own gain. And we look at Philip, who's really the contrast to that, the other side of it. It's really cool because Philip, everything that he did was for the glory of God, to point people to Christ, and also to promote God's kingdom. So here we are looking at Philip again, and really we're going to conclude hearing about Philip in the book of Acts up until we get to Acts chapter 21. Then he's going to show up one more time. But it doesn't mean that he didn't do anything between now and then. And we're going to look at him down the road some, and I don't know when we're going to get there, but Acts chapter 21 is coming up down the road. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 8 this morning. I want to read through these verses, starting at verse 26, with a beautiful story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian high official. And so you're going to see a little bit more about this guy and both of them and their interaction today. And it's not just these two people that were there, by the way. There's other characters involved with this. There's a ministering angel. There's also the Holy Spirit. And also some people with this Ethiopian eunuch. They're not listed, but they're there with him. You can see what I'm talking about as we go. But here we go. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Now, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. This is so cool. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Okay. So there's just a lot of cool stuff that's going on in this story. And all of this, by the way, is real. This is not just some made up thing, okay? So just know this. This actually happened, all right? I want to start off with this. First off, the title of this message this morning is called Monkey Bars. And I said that, I titled it that because I hope you remember it. Monkey Bars. And I'll get to as to what I'm talking about with Monkey Bars in just a little bit as to why it's entitled that. But first off, I want to unpack this just a little bit. So here's Philip, and he was having a great revival in Samaria. We heard about this a week or two ago, how people were getting saved, how people were getting healed. I mean, there was miracles taking place. The power of God was working through Philip, and Philip was leading people to Christ right and left. Simon the sorcerer, of course, saw that, wanted part of it, tried to buy it. It's not for sale. He got scolded. We don't know what happened to Simon necessarily, but we know that Philip was continuing on in ministry, and sometime down the road, here's an angel of the Lord that came to him. Now, an angel of the Lord also appeared back in Acts chapter 5, if you remember, and let the couple of guys out of prison. Just showed up. They got thrown in prison. I think it was Peter and John. Anyway, Peter and one of the other guys. And they were both in prison. And the angel of the Lord let them out. So this may be the same angel of the Lord, maybe a different one, because he's got plenty of angels. The Lord has plenty of angels. And they're there to minister to us. They're there to help us. You know, we don't focus on that, but, you know, you never know. There might be someone sitting next to you that's an angel. You're looking at that person next to you and say, no, I know that person. They're not an angel. But, you know, you might be, Oh, that's sweet. Some of you are hugging those person now. You're an angel. Yeah. All right. But you never know when you're going to meet an angel in disguise. I don't know. I might have met some angels before ministering to me, pointing me in the right direction. Maybe you have too. You know, they just look like you and me. They disguise themselves to look normal, but then they are, you know, speaking on behalf of the Lord. And I love this. So this is an actual thing that happened. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, like, hey, Philip. And this is what he said. Yeah, angel. Go to the south. Go south to the road, the desert road. That's kind of important to think about because he went to this desert road. It goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, how many's ever been in a desert? Yeah, I grew up on the West Coast, and so my parents, we would go on trips on occasion, and one of them was we didn't live too far away from Death Valley. How many's ever heard of Death Valley? Yeah, it sounds awful, doesn't it? Believe me, it's awful. It's as awful as it sounds. There's no life there. It's the lowest place in America as far as elevation is concerned, and there's just nothing there. And I remember going, they didn't take us to Death Valley to keep us there. I'm sure they were tempted, my brother and I. That's it. We've had enough of you guys. No, they actually were taking us through there to get to a place called the Calico Ghost Town. And so it was a little, place to go for, a day and just a neat little place that used to be a gold mining place and it's all shut down now. But we went through Death Valley to get there. It was awful. There wasn't much people there. Just long stretches of road with nothing to the left and to the right but a cactus every once in a while. Just awful. Remote. And so, honestly, there's no reason to live in the desert. There's no way you can possibly live in the desert. You just have to have some sort of water, There's not much water in the desert. So here is this angel of the Lord saying, hey, you know that big revival you're having right now in this big city and things are going and blowing? I want you to go this way now to the desert road. I can't think of a more opposite thing going on in that person's life right then, Philip's life. Now, if that were me, I would say, no. Because, what's going on right now is really good. It's really cool. It's really happening. And you want me to do what? Now, you want me to go to the desert road? There's not many people that travel this road. It's kind of remote, and it's kind of scary. But Philip didn't say that. In fact, there was no debate, no discussion. He just went. It said, verse 27, so he started out. Which means he just kind of went, okay. Which tells you something about Philip. Philip was at a place in his life where, now let's back up a little bit and talk about Philip for a second. Now, Philip was, he just kind of came on the scene. He was a Greek Jew. He was one of the seven that was picked in chapter 5 or 6 to serve the people in the distribution of the daily food distribution. He was one of the seven, okay? He was a Greek Jew, so that means that he got saved, some people say probably at Pentecost, and just stayed there in Jerusalem. And so he became a leader in the church. He obviously had some leadership qualities. There was something about him, and I think what was about him mostly was this, because he was chosen to be a servant. He was chosen to be a food distributor, and which means this, that he had an eye for the need. He had a compassion to respond to that need, and he had a servant's heart to give of himself completely. He was selfless. He was a great man in that sense. And so he was chosen as one of the seven. And so here he is now. And when Saul, after Stephen was stoned and Saul stepped in and started killing the Christians and imprisoning them, they all scattered out of Jerusalem, Philip being one of them. And if you remember a few weeks ago, we said that actually Jesus' prophecy in Acts 1:8, where there you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and then Samaria, Philip God used Philip to fulfill that prophecy. Because he went to Samaria, and then the rest of that prophecy is, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said that. Well, guess what? God used Philip. Philip's being a hog. He's being a prophecy hog. Because he not only was the one that God used to go to Samaria, he also used him to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we're going to see in just a minute, because Ethiopia is considered the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus' prophecy in Acts 1:8 was fulfilled by what we just read here just a moment ago. But he had this servant's heart, and he just was ready to go. He was ready to do whatever. I don't think he was married at that time. I'm not sure if he was tied down with a job. I don't know. There's really not really that much about Philip, except that he had a responsibility as leader of the church to serve. And then when the scattering took place, he went to Samaria, and he started preaching the gospel. He didn't go there in hiding. He went there preaching the gospel. And the whole city was turned upside down. People healed and all. And here's the angel telling him, now I want you to go. I have another assignment for you. And Philip said, okay. So he went. And so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, he's an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, okay, you try to think about this man here for just a minute. He was of high rank, obviously, and highly trusted because he was in charge of all the money of a country. He was basically the treasurer, like the treasurer of the United States, you know? He's in charge of the $21 trillion in debt that we have. Whoever the treasury guy is now, he's in charge of that. But the eunuch back in Ethiopia actually had some money to work with, obviously. Did I get too political just then? I'm sorry. I slipped into it, didn't I? I'll pull back. So here's this man who was a believer in God, because it says here that this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So think about this. Now, Ethiopia, if you know anything about the map of Africa and of the Middle East, Ethiopia is south of Egypt. It's considered a part of Africa. But the Ethiopian people were, by and large, black-skinned folks. And so how in the world did they get from Ethiopia? How did God get down to Ethiopia? Well, if you go back to Jeremiah and Psalms, some references to Ethiopia is actually the land of Cush, C-U-S-H, Cush. The land of Cush is the land of Ethiopia. And there was some connections going on there where people were engaging with the people from Cush, and these people obviously embraced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some way, somehow, took that belief of the God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, back down to Ethiopia, and over the centuries, that continued. And so here was this devout believer in God, not knowing anything about Jesus, who had just finished coming from Jerusalem, and he was on his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, so here's what we want to kind of just unpack this for just a little bit. Okay, so imagine here's Philip, I'm going to say a common man. He probably had common clothes. You know, clothes that you travel in. They didn't have a closet full of clothes back then, okay? They had a you know, Monday through Friday tunic and then a Sunday tunic. I mean, they just had nothing. They just had just regular clothes, right? And I'm sure they weren't adorned with stitchings and jewelry of any kind. They were just kind of clothes. I'm just imagining Philip just being an everyday guy, you know? And he was a white man. And he was a Greek man, meaning that he lived up in the European part of the known world at that time. He wasn't born and raised in Jerusalem, okay? So he's a Greek man. He spoke Greek. And so here's Philip, used to kind of being continental, you know? He grew up in the European part of the world and then ended up in Jerusalem, so he kind of hung out with some Greek-speaking and also some Hebrew and Aramaic-speaking people, different cultures there, okay? So he kind of had a little bit of thing going like that, but again, I want you to put yourself in his shoes because I want to fast forward to 2016. I want you to put yourself in Philip's shoes. Okay, so here's Philip. He's a white man, a Greek-speaking man of common descent, probably a man of very little means. You know, he probably had a little money bag in him, and that's about it. One pair of sandals, what he was wearing, that's it. And he's running into a guy who's an Ethiopian, different country, a black man, in a chariot, wealthy, adorned, I'm sure. Even that man's travel clothes was probably a lot nicer than anything that Philip had ever seen, right? So again, put yourself in Philip's position where he's approaching a man, or he's told to approach a man that is in various ways different than him. Okay, so let's fast forward to 2016. There's people in my life, in my experiences, where I know the Lord has told me to do some things, and you can put yourself in these shoes too if you want to, if you want to admit like me that I'm getting ready to admit that I have been disobedient to the Lord at times, where he's told me to go and talk to people that are different than me. Now, those different people are not necessarily an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot. I don't think I've seen one of those in Rock Hill. Not lately, at least. I think a couple of years ago there was a guy that came through like that. But lately, no. You know, it's just rare, non-existent. But who is the black, Ethiopian, wealthy, rich eunuch of different, you know, a different background that you know and that I know? It could be for some of us white folks, some black folks. It could be for some of us black folks, white folks. It could be for some of us a guy who has tattoos from head to toe and jewelry hanging all over everything that can hang that he can hang off of. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? It could be someone who's walking with another guy hand in hand. Or another girl hand in hand. It could be all kinds of different, you know, things that we're just not comfortable with in our little safe cocoon of a Christian world. All right? This Philip had this guy. Who's your guy? Who's my guy? Or gal? That the Holy Spirit is in my life and in your life said, I want you to go and stand by that chariot. I want you to go over to that person. I want you to go and just be nearby because something cool is getting ready to happen. Now, the reason that I called this monkey bars is this. Because at this point, Philip had a choice. He could have said, next. How about bring me a guy who's just walking along and he's, you know, kind of like me. You know, the white dude, the everyday dude, the dude from Greece, speaks the same language as me and kind of, you know, I can relate to him and all that. Man, I can't believe the opposite of what the Holy Spirit told Philip to do, but he did it. And Philip had the choice of saying yes or no. And he said yes. And in fact, if you look at the next verse, it says, then Philip ran up to the chariot. he just darted over to it. Went, okay, and then boom. And imagine this guy, like, great. And just running over. He didn't saunter over. He didn't slide his way over slowly, you know. He didn't kind of make an end around to it. No, he just walked, ran right up to it, like, hey, right up to the chariot. Interesting. Very enthusiastic, completely obedient, completely trusting in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing about the Holy Spirit that I want to talk to you about, because we look at the Holy Spirit. I said this a few months back. We look at God the Father. We got Him. He's our Father. We love Him. We honor God. He's our Heavenly Father. We know how to relate to a Heavenly Father, right? We know how to relate to a Father. Most of us, you know, have had that Father experience. Whether good or bad, you know how to relate to a Father. You had that relationship, okay? We also can relate to Jesus Christ, the Son. He's our Savior. He's the one that we adore. He's the one that we worship, like we just did. We got that. We got that connection. Now, for some of us, and maybe for many of us, the Holy Spirit is this kind of this weird sort of, you know, floating entity that we don't know really what to do with. You know, I see if I can remember how I word it. God, we respect. Jesus, we worship. And it's the Holy Spirit that we kind of deflect from and pull back and we inspect Him. And sometimes we reject Him because we don't know what to do with Him. They just reemphasize this. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's a person. And the Holy Spirit is not anybody to be afraid of because He's here as the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And where Jesus is just one person and can only be at one place at one time, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us, but the Holy Spirit is in us. And so now the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of Christ is multiplied in all of us. So it's a beautiful thing in that way. And so we don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. So here's what we do with the Holy Spirit. Because some of us are afraid of the Holy Spirit. We just think, okay, it's when it gets weird in the service, that's when the Holy Spirit moves. Or when someone starts speaking some weird language, well, that's when the Holy Spirit's moving. That's the Holy Spirit's thing. When someone starts, you know, running around, or that's when the Holy Spirit, it's when it gets weird. You know? No, the Holy Spirit's been moving from the moment you took your first breath in your life. He's been moving in your heart. And the Holy Spirit's not some weird thing to be afraid of. He's a person who loves you and wants to see you grow into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. And here's what we do. A lot of times we take the Holy Spirit, and this is, I think, what many of us Christians do, is we take the Holy Spirit, and He becomes like, for us, kind of like how Superman, has to, let's see, who would be a good example of a superhero who can't do anything until they take something and that makes them stronger. Okay, is there a superhero like that? Popeye. Okay, good. He's like Popeye. Good. So it's like the Holy Spirit is our spinach. That's good. Oh, Popeye. See, we go around, you know, da, 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 da. We walk along like Popeye, you know. And then when Brutus comes along, when Bluto comes along, we squeeze that can of spinach and chug it on down. And all of a sudden, pop. And we can defeat anybody. And we say, that's the Holy Spirit in me. No. See, we got it all wrong. It's not like, you know, The Holy Spirit is some sidekick. It's like I'm Batman and the Holy Spirit's Robin, you know? I'm the Lone Ranger and the Holy Spirit's Tonto, you know? And he's going to help me whenever I get in trouble. That's not how that works at all. We got it wrong. See, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being a helper. In fact, it's one of the descriptions. The Holy Spirit, and Jesus, in fact, said in the book of John, I got to go because I can't, unless I go, God's not going to be able to send the helper. Capital H, helper. So he's known as the helper. Now, how many's ever baked a cake or cookies with a child in your kitchen? You, come on, yeah, you can help me. And they're like 4 or 5 years old, 6, 7 years old. You know where I'm going with this? I'm helping. No, you're not. Because actually, and it's sweet. It's a great memory. It's something you take pictures of. You know, I remember that day we had flour all over us. Wasn't that great? And all over the kitchen. It was wonderful. We cleaned up for hours. Here's the thing. It may be that it's sweet and cute and all that, but I think sometimes we think that as a Holy Spirit being our helper, that he's kind of like that, that he kind of comes in and he kind of makes a mess of things. And in fact, it takes twice as long and it's twice as hard, and he's really not a helper. You know, the Holy Spirit is not like that. He's not some little kid who comes in and makes a mess of things. He actually, it's really the opposite way. He really helps us on the monkey bars. Now, here's the reason I say that. If you've ever been as a child on monkey bars and you didn't have upper body strength, in fact, right now, I would venture to say that many of us in here wouldn't have the upper body strength if I were to get you on some monkey bars that you'd be able to go from one end to another, would you? I mean, come on, fess up. I don't think I would. I mean, that upper body strength, you got to be young and you got to have some, you know, gymnastic thing. You got to work up to it. And even then, it's hard. Thing about the monkey bars is this. It's a beautiful thing is that if you have someone there to help you on the monkey bars get all the way across, you can do it, can't you? Someone that's just kind of supporting you all the way. You're holding on to the bars, and you're looking around, you're going, I'm doing it. And in fact, you're not doing any of it. It's that person that's helping you through the monkey bars that's actually doing it. If they were to let go and step back, you would fall down because you lack the ability and the upper body strength to succeed. And that is the Holy Spirit. You see, where Philip couldn't have done any of this on his own, the Holy Spirit through him said, if you'll go and if you'll do this, I, through you, will do some great things. All Philip did was make himself available. He just made himself available. He said, okay, I'll go to the road, I'll run up to the chariot, and I'll just let you use me. I'll just let you hold me up on those monkey bars because I'm going to make a trip from one end to another, and I can't do this on my own. I will miserably fail. I lack the upper body strength. I lack the ability to do this. Monkey bars. The Holy Spirit is here to help us as if you have been assigned to go across an impossible stretch. And the only way that you can do from one into another is if the Holy Spirit actually carries you through it. He's actually the strength behind the activity. He's the wisdom behind the activity. He's the source behind the activity. All you are is just a vessel, a vehicle, a willing entity that says, I will let the Holy Spirit hold me up and carry me through and walk me through this. Use me. That looks like. So here's the point right here of decision. The Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near. Verse 30 is where we are. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading in Isaiah the prophet. And then Philip could have, again, here's another point of decision. Philip could have went, Isaiah. You know, maybe he didn't see me. No, he heard him reading Isaiah, and he stood next to him, and he asked a question. I wish that would stop turning. He asked a question. He said, do you understand what you're reading? See, now that's where most of us would stop, because we wouldn't, I don't know God's word. I wouldn't know even what to do with that. I'm intimidated with that. I haven't studied the word enough. I'm not a pastor. I'm not this. I'm not that. Excuses, excuses, excuses. I have two words for you. Monkey bars. Of course you don't know. Of course you can't do it. Neither can I. Dare I take credit for this and make myself God and pat myself on the back. But instead, I'll say, Lord, he's reading Isaiah, and that's a pretty intense verse. By the way, this guy reading Isaiah, it's not like he just picked this Bible up from the Jerusalem Christian bookstore on his way out of town. He was reading a scroll. These things, they didn't have a printing press back then. He was reading a scroll. That thing was handwritten. Talk about high level of privilege that this man had. I mean, he's reading this scroll in Isaiah that was hand-printed, handwritten. There he was reading it. So, again, Philip could have been intimidated. Okay, fancy chariot, pulling out the scroll, all kinds of different things that I just don't think I like about this. But listen, the angel told me to do this. Then the Holy Spirit told me to go to the chariot. He's got a plan here, and I'm not going to second guess it. So Philip asked a question that he knew that it was getting ready to lead into something that he couldn't get out of. That was really the moment that he committed himself. Up to that point, standing by the chariot, and he was good. He could have walked away. But when he said, do you understand what you're reading? He knew that he was making an offer to him. And so the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, I picture this chariot. I guess when I first started reading this, I thought it's just a little chariot with one guy like Ben-Hur, you know, where they just room for one person. This is not a little chariot. Obviously, this was big enough for two people. And it had to be. And think about it. He traveled hundreds of miles. It had to be something that had a little more comfort to it, some sort of top. It probably had four wheels on it. So when you say chariot, it's kind of more like a wagon, you know, more like a big wagon. I'm sure it was ornate, beautiful, and it had plenty of supplies in it. And by the way, he wasn't by himself. He wasn't just dragging, you know, this thing around the country and around the world all by himself. He had some people you'll see here in just a little bit. And so there wasn't just Philip and the eunuch, but there was witnesses there, which I love. And you'll hear more about that in a second. And so here he is. The eunuch is reading this passage. He said, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. You know how strategic the Holy Spirit is? Because it's at that moment that this eunuch who... Obviously, the Lord had been preparing him. That's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Lord prepares people for our engagement with them. You have to know that as much as maybe you're making yourself available and the Lord's preparing you for that person, that on the other end, that the Holy Spirit is preparing that person that you're engaging with to be ready. You know, the harvest, the Bible, that's why Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest is out there. Hearts are being prepared. It's there. He's just looking for you and I to just make ourselves available for him to carry us on the monkey bars. And so the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And this is like a silver platter question, isn't it? Would you please tell me about Jesus, is what he was really saying. It's just a silver platter question. And Philip, walked into the wide open opportunity, and he did this. And this is really the key to this passage here. And here's the verse, and it says in verse 35, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Oh. Philip was nothing like Simon the sorcerer. Think about it last week. Philip wanted the power of the Holy Spirit to promote his kingdom, to build his brand. But we looked at Philip last week, and again this week, here he is. Philip is not saying, well, tell you what, why don't you come back to Jerusalem? I got me a little church over there. I see you're a man of means, and so I'm not going to say this out loud, but this guy can really help fund my ministry. You know, I mean, think about it. This dude, I mean, I'm seeing the money bags. I'm seeing the ornate stuff. I'm thinking, you know, you might be able to help me, you know, to buy a new private jet and, oh, I'm sorry, did I say that? To build my ministry in some way. So Philip could have absolutely pointed this man to him, but he didn't. He pointed him to Jesus, just like last week we learned about it. Philip's goal, and our goal should be as well, to point people to Christ and to build God's kingdom. You know, Philip knew that his time on earth was just a few years, and that whatever it is that he needed to do it as unto the Lord. And so Philip had already made a determination in his heart long ago that every opportunity that he could get, He was going to point people to Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you this and encourage you with this, that whatever opportunities that you have, be careful. Don't be like Simon the sorcerer, like we learned last week, where everything that Simon did was try to make people more dependent upon him. Instead, everybody that you come in contact with, that you have an opportunity to walk some monkey bars with, point them to Christ and make them completely dependent upon Christ and his saving grace, his power, his ability to heal and to deliver and to restore. It's only through Christ. It's not through you. It's not through me. It's not through any man or woman on this earth. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save. He's the only one that can heal. And so Philip took him from that very passage, which is another part of this that I want to talk to you about for just a second. You see, Philip didn't say, okay, now I'm going to stand right here, figuratively speaking, and then you're going to be right back there, maybe, you know, where the eunuch would be, say, maybe stand, you're kind of back there where you are, Stan, sitting down. This big, large space there. Everybody see where Johnny and Stan are sitting in the back row? See, Johnny or Stan, could you, Johnny, stand up for a second. I'm going to use you for a second. I want you in one step out from the seat. I want you to, in one step, come to me. One step. Can you do it? No, that's not, you didn't make it all the way. Go back. I need you to do it in one step. Can you do it? One step. Is that the best you could do? You can't do it. Yeah. See, here's what happens is a lot of times, thank you, Johnny. A lot of times what we do is this. We try to minister to people from where we are in our understanding instead of where they are in their understanding. And so what Jesus is asking us to do is to go to that person and meet them at their place of understanding. That's what the scripture is saying, is Philip, with that very passage of scripture, told him the good news about Jesus. And so stand up again. I'm going to use you. So see, here's Philip and the Ethiopian man, and he started telling him about Jesus. So let me talk to you about Jesus. Let me tell you about who he is. And I know you know about God because you came to Jerusalem to worship God. But let me tell you about his son. And what this scripture is talking about was an Old Testament prophecy of speaking to a man who actually just lived and who actually just died. Let me tell you about his life and his death. And then he went on to talk about Jesus and his life and his death and what his death meant to all of mankind and how through his death it restored relationship back between us and that very God that you went and worshiped. Now, that was a pretty easy journey, but I was able to talk to you about that instead of making you leap all the way up here. And from there to there, I give you a clear understanding of who Jesus is. And at this point, you have a great understanding, and you're ready to receive Christ, because that's exactly what happened, right? So we meet. Thank you, Johnny. I'm going to let you walk back by yourself. I think you know the way. All right. And so here's the thing, and this is implied. The next part of it is that he received Christ, because it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? See, it's implied there that he accepted Christ, because obviously Philip had talked about, you know, accepting him in your heart and then being baptized. And that baptism is this. By the way, baptism will not save you. Baptism does not. Well, I was baptized when I was a kid. I guess I'm saved. That's not how it works. Baptism, all that does is get you wet if your heart's not changed, you know. Baptism is simply an outward act that publicly identifies you as set apart with Christ. And we're going to have a baptism service here not too long from now, so you guys stay tuned if you want to be baptized. We're going to have a good baptism service here coming up soon, so watch the bulletin for that. But what happened was, obviously, this eunuch had received Christ. He says, okay, now I got to get baptized. And here it is in the desert road. I love this. There was a body of water, of all things. That just doesn't happen. But God provided a body of water, and the eunuch and Philip went down from the chariot. Philip baptized him. And then, this really happened now, Philip disappeared. I mean, it was like Star Trek. He got beamed up. He probably had one of those little things, beam me up, Scotty. And he was gone to a little town called Azotus, which was not too far away, just a few miles. But here's the thing. The eunuch looked around. And by the way, if you look at the story, it says he said, can I be baptized? And he says, yeah. And so he gave orders to stop the chariot. He wouldn't order himself, which means that there was people with him, at least one other, but probably several others who traveled with him. And so all these people heard the story of Jesus Christ, heard Philip talking, watched their boss getting baptized, and then saw Philip just disappear. And then they looked around, and they rejoiced. There was something that happened so real in their hearts. And they took off down to Ethiopia. And here's the rest of the story. Because if you think, if you look at the if you study about the history of Ethiopia, Ethiopia is actually a Christian country. If you look at the statistics right now, there's roughly a little over 60% of the country who identifies themselves as Christians. And it all started back here on this moment, at this moment when Philip introduced this Ethiopian eunuch of high position, of high influence, knew the queen personally, took care of all the money. So here's this eunuch of high position going back to the country along with the rest of his guys and people that were with him and started telling the leadership, and it started trickling down into the rest of the society. And through that one encounter, a whole country came to know Christ. And that's kind of the point of this whole thing is that, first off, we walk in obedience. Secondly, we let God disrupt our schedules. And then thirdly, we allow the Holy Spirit to hold us on the monkey bars. And we trust him through all of this. Because if Philip would have stayed in Samaria, a whole city would have gotten saved, and revival would have been happening, and it was all good. And there was nothing wrong with that. But that good thing, God was moving into a better thing because he had an assignment for Philip on a desert road that seems so opposite from what should have happened. But yet in obedience, Philip obeyed. And through that one obedient encounter, a whole country and really a whole continent was introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, good for Philip. Well, how about good for you and me too? Because Philip was just a man of common descent who is walking in obedience to the Lord. And because of that, just a regular man who loved the Lord, who gave his life to the Lord, who listened to the Holy Spirit, who followed the Holy Spirit's leading, a whole country and possibly a whole continent was impacted for them, for the cause of Jesus Christ. I want to see you make that difference. I want to see you step out and be inconvenienced this week. I want to see you step out as the Holy Spirit leads you and depend on him to hold you up on those monkey bars. I want you to take a step out from a place that you've never been before and say, hey, this person here is completely outside of my culture, but the Lord is telling me to do it. If he tells you to do it, do it. I'm out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to run up to that chariot. I'm going to run towards where he's telling me to go, and I'm going to make myself available. And I'm not going to take credit for it. I'm not going to say, look who I saved. I don't save anybody. You don't save anybody. It's Christ through you who brings salvation. So as you lead people to the Lord, just like Philip did, he preached Christ to him. From that moment of understanding, from that point of understanding, he led him to the cross. It was a comfort zone situation. It was a monkey bar situation. And Philip didn't take credit for it. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Philip later on down the road, but he didn't just show up in Azotus and say, man. He said, cool. And he kept preaching the gospel. And then he kept going and preaching the gospel at little towns. He was an evangelist. And he kept going until he hit a place called Caesarea, a little town, a little city called Caesarea. And I maybe give you a little advertisement about it, but if you want to read about it in Acts chapter 21, he stayed there in Caesarea. And there's a reason why. And I'll let you read about that in Acts chapter 21. I think it's pretty funny. He could have kept going, but he met someone. Let's put it that way. And God changed his life even further. So this is how I want to leave it this morning. As we look at this passage and we think, what in the world does it have to do with me? I just want you to remember two words today. You know those two words are? Monkey bars. Monkey bars. In that anything that the Lord asks you to do, no. That it's in his strength, not yours. There's nothing to be afraid about. Just step out in obedience to it and realize that he's holding you up. He's allowing you to get from there to there. And through it, that God would be glorified, that people would be saved, that his will would be fulfilled in your life, and that that his kingdom would be expanded, that many people would be touched as a result of you stepping out and just saying, Lord, put me up on the monkey bars. Holy Spirit, you're my helper. See, the Holy Spirit is a person that is walking with you right now. Let him engage with you. Obey him. And then let him hold you up and carry you through. He spoke through Philip from that point of understanding in Isaiah all the way to the foot of the cross. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through Philip. Philip knew some of God's word, probably. He didn't know everything he needed to know, probably. Neither do we, right? We don't have to know all of God's word in order to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. You tell your story. You tell your story of who Christ is in your life. You point people to Christ and let the Holy Spirit just speak through you. Hold you up on those monkey bars and speak through you. And what you need to say is what's going to need to be said to that particular person to lead him to Christ. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I just love telling that story. And I want to challenge you to let the Holy Spirit hold you up in every way on those monkey bars.